And you can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Job, the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. The book of Job is right before Psalms. The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. At its very core, the book of Job is about the contrast between God's great goodness and Satan's great badness. So if you learn anything tonight, it is that God is good and the devil is bad. Okay? God is good and the devil is bad. And Job is the story in the Bible that illustrates this great principle so wonderfully. Job 1:1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Okay, and there's a couple cool things in here. First of all, perfect is the word for faultless, and upright is moral integrity. And the interesting thing about the name Job is that in Hebrew, the name Job means attacked or persecuted. And I can assure you that if I was to have a child, I would not name them attacked or persecuted. So it is likely that Job received his name as a part of what we will read about tonight, and that wasn't his, like, actual name. Like, you know, the General Stonewall Jackson, his name wasn't Stonewall. It was because he stonewalled at a great battle, and he received that name. So Job means attacked or persecuted. So I think it's interesting that God gave him that name in the Bible. This is how he was referred to. Verse 2. "And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he had a prosperous family life. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East." So Job had great prosperity, right? Great prosperity. And the first thing we learn about Job is that he's perfect and upright. One that feared or reverenced and respected God. So as a result of him reverencing God, he has great prosperity, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. He had great prosperity. 3 John verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that we," what? "Prosper." God's will is for us to prosper, right? Part of the goodness of God is that he wants us as his kids to prosper. It is God's will for us to have prosperity in our lives. He wants goodness for our lives. The adversary is the one who doesn't. God wants good things. Verse 4, "And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them." How many sons did he have? 7. So every day the sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day. So the family got together. They would go to each other's houses every single day to eat together, one for each day. And then the sisters would come along with them to eat and to drink. So even Job's sons, his family, was prosperous, right? They would all get together and feast in their houses. If you look down at verse 10, verse 10 is a conversation that the adversary or Satan is having with God. And Satan says to God, have you not made a hedge about him, about Job, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So these are Satan's remarks, and they are accurate. God had a protective hedge around Job and his family because of Job's stand. He walked uprightly and he believed. And so Satan asks him, hey, isn't he in this good shape because you've protected him? And the answer is yes. Yes, he is. Because God's protection was around him. Go back to verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. So the angels come before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. So Satan shows up. God's meeting with his angels, and Satan says, hey, I'd like to talk to you too. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where'd you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Now this is another difference between God and Satan. Satan is the god of this world, but God is everywhere at all times, right? God is always near. It says that in his word. Satan and his devil spirits, they roam about, right? It says in James that the adversary walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So the adversary and the devil spirits, they're not everywhere all the time. That's God. God's everywhere all the time. He's that big. Now the adversary and his devil spirits, they have to roam about. And that's what it says there in verse 7. Going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. And we know that the adversary does that with the intent to make things bad, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered, since you've been everywhere, Satan, have you considered my servant Job, since you've seen it all, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Like, what does Job have to worry about? And that's where verse 10 comes in. Have you not made a hedge around him and his house and protected him? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Of course Job's fine. You've protected him. Verse 11, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So the adversary is now challenging God and saying, well, you take it all away from him and see how he feels. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power. Right? You're the God of the world. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Okay? So we see that Satan is out to question God and his goodness. He even tries to tempt God, saying, hey, you take it all away. But it's God who brings the blessings, and it's Satan who tries to take them away. Verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. It was the oldest brother's day. So they're at his house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, so they're all eating in that guy's house, and a messenger comes to Job, to Job's house. And he comes to Job and says, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So remember all of those those oxen and those she-asses, the 500 of each, they were taken away. Verse 16. While that guy was telling him the bad news, there came another guy and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." So something came crashing down from the sky and burned up all the sheep. And while that guy was telling him the bad news, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and only I am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was telling him the bad news, there came another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead." Their house fell to the ground and crushed everybody inside of it. "And only I am escaped alone to tell thee." So in these six verses, we can see the adversary taking away what Job had. He can work in the natural elements. He can work in other people. The adversary and his devil spirits can influence things where they are active, and bad stuff will happen. And his will is utter destruction for our lives. So whereas God wanted to bless Job with all of this prosperity and this abundance, the adversary wanted to take it all away. Every last bit of it. He killed off everything he owned and everybody he loved. Job chapter 2, verse 7. So it's total opposites. God wants abundance and blessings. The adversary wants ruin and destruction. Job 2, verse 7. So Job goes back. Basically, verse 22 says, of chapter 1 says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." So he didn't go against God, even after he lost everything. So then the adversary goes back and says, even though he's lost everything, or God says, even though he's lost everything, he hasn't cursed me. And the adversary says, well, he will if we take his health from him. So verse 7. "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." So from head to toe, Job was now covered in sores and boils. "And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes," which is a sign or a symbol of great mourning. So Satan is not satisfied with just ruining our prosperity. He also wants our physical and mental condition to be ruined as well. So his badness isn't just to take away the things that you have, but to take away your health and your soundness of mind. So, we can see that it's God who blesses Job with health and prosperity and goodness, and it's Satan who stole all that away. So what happened? And the key to understanding what happened is the verse we skipped in chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1, verse 5. Job 1:5, it says, "And it was so, when the days of their feastings were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all." This happened when the days of their feasting were gone about. So his children are enjoying great prosperity in their lives, but they are indulging in this great feasting from Job's point of view. And it says, "He offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job what? Continually. So Job, seeing the way his children were living, begins to get afraid. And he is afraid that they are living sinfully. And so he goes about to do what he can for their sakes, which is offering burnt offerings for them, going to God on their behalf. But it says at the end, it may be that my sons have sinned. So Job, who walked rightly, who walked perfectly, began to be afraid that his kids were not. He began to worry and to get scared that they perhaps were not going to walk that way. And he did continually. So he let that fear creep in. He was afraid for his sons. And fear is believing, right? Fear is believing. It's just negative believing. And in the case of Job, it was enough to begin to poke a hole in that hedge that God had put around him that it talks about in verse 10. God had a protective hedge around Job because he walked uprightly. Job's fear allowed Satan to start to work in that life. Mark 5:36 says, "Be not afraid, only believe." Because right believing gets rid of fear. Correct believing is positive believing, which means it wipes out the negative believing that is fear. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's what God gives. God gives a spirit that's not fearful, but is powerful. That's the way he wants us to live. Job chapter 3, verse 25 says, this is after everything's been taken from Job, including his health. He says in 3:25, "For the thing which I greatly," what? "Feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." So when everything had gone, Job admits, "The thing that I was afraid of, that my sons had sinned, that it would all get taken away, that it was only momentary, temporal, came unto him." So it was because of Job's fear that the adversary was able to get a foothold. Now, God wanted him to prosper. God wanted him to be in health. It was the adversary who wanted to take those things away from him. Go to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Right? The whole point of Job is that God is good, that the devil is bad. Psalm 23, 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So, as we think in our heart, in our innermost part of our minds, the stuff that we put on, that's what we're gonna, what you look at, you become, right? That's what we will be. And so, for a long time, Job was very prosperous. He walked uprightly. But then Job began to fear that it would all be taken away, that his sons would sin, and that it would all be gone. And that's what happened. Go to Psalm 139, verse 8. Psalm 139, 8. But the truth is that while the adversary wants to take everything away, that it's God who wants goodness for our lives, and he is always there. Psalm 139:8 says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." So even when things do get rough, even when we aren't perfect and we face tribulation, who's still there? God. God is still there because he wants the best for us. Go to James chapter 1, verse 13. The book of James chapter 1, verse 13. It's not God who tempts us. It's not God who takes things from us. Right? Lots of secular believer or church goers believe that Job is a book about how God tries people to get them to believe more. Nowhere does it say that God wants to inflict you with atrocities. Nowhere does it say that God wants you to suffer so that you'll be a better believer. In James 1:13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.'" Don't let him say it. God doesn't bring the bad stuff. If a man is tempted, it's not of God. "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." God does not tempt us. He doesn't try us with sickness or anything else. That stuff is Satan's domain. God wants us to prosper and to be in health, right? That's what 3 John 2 says. John 10:10. The thief. The adversary is a thief. He's the one who steals. He's the one who takes away. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." What's the only reason the devil shows up? To steal, kill, and to destroy. He doesn't come to throw you a party. He doesn't come to bless you. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If bad stuff is happening, it's not of God. "I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." God sent his only begotten Son so that we could have an abundant life, not one full of sorrow, not one full of loss, right? That's what the adversary brings. Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, verse 4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy" what? Heart. Man, God cares about what's on your heart. When you delight yourself in the Lord, when you put God first, when you trust in him, he's going to bless you. He's going to give you the desires that are on your heart. Man, what did Job have? He was the wealthiest, richest man in all the East. That's what God gave him. And that's what the adversary took away. Go to Job 42. Go to Job 42, verse 1. So everything that happens in between, Job has some miserable comforters show up, some friends of his who weren't the best at comforting him, at giving him advice. God speaks to Job after reproving, well, we'll see this, he reproves the miserable comforters. But God speaks to Job and expounds to him his great power and his great goodness. Because all the while, Job never cursed God. The whole time. He had miserable comforters show up. He had people tell him, "What did you do? You must have done something terrible. You must be the worst." Wife tells him, his friends tell him. And never once does Job say, "God, why did you do this to me?" And 42 verse 1 says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, I ask thee, Please hear me, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees thee. And that's where Job had ended up. He had known, he had heard about God's goodness. He had heard about how wonderful God was, and he believed. He walked uprightly. But after this tribulation, he said, but now my eye sees thee. He truly understood the greatness of God after all of this was done. At first, he had just kind of heard about it. He believed it, but now he experientially knew it. Wherefore, this is why I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So Job hadn't fully understood during all of his abundance the greatness of God. He knew he had it good, but now he could see it. He was changed, and he repented. He felt sorry for ever doubting and forever fearing that it would be taken away. Right? Now he could see God's goodness. And as a sign of repentance, he repents in dust and ashes, you know, to show he is sorrowful. Verse 7, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, after they had their conversation, the Lord said to Eliphaz and Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. So these are the miserable comforters. For you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz and Temanite and Bilad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according to as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. So he reproves the miserable comforters and tells Job to pray for them, which he does. Verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he what? Had before. Twice as much. Verse 10 is cool. The Lord turned the captivity of Job, which means he removed it. He turned it away. The captivity that Job had was all that he had lost. The physical suffering that he endured. God turned it all away. And he did it when he prayed for his friends. Job forgives his friends. And he listens to God. And God delivers him. That's pretty cool. Verse 11. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him all over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So his family, his brothers and sisters, and the people that he knew came to him to comfort him. So the Lord, verse 12, blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses. So all the stuff that he had, those numbers, they're doubled. Twice as much as what he had before. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He has more children. And if you want to know what the girls' names are, God tells you. And he called the name of the first Jemima, like the aunt. And the name of the second, Keziah, and the name of the third, Kiran Hepuk. She was probably thrilled. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. So even the girls get something. After this lived Job 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. So Job gets to live 140 more years and gets to see four generations worth of his family grow up before he dies. He was old and full of days, which is to say that he died blessed, prosperous, and happy. So it's God who blesses us. It's the adversary who wants to see us unhappy. It's the adversary who wants to take stuff away. And as we put our faith and our trust in God, he'll continue to bless us.